Well, we have talked with Dr. Mary Owen before about some of the challenges of healthcare in Indian country. She is the director of the Center of American Indian and Minority Health, and she joins us this morning to talk about how the COVID-19 pandemic is playing out in a different segment of our society. Hey, Mary, good morning. So nice of you to join us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Lisa.
So I said to you kind of sarcastically, well, I suppose the Bureau of, you know, we've talked in the past that the Bureau of Indian Health has sometimes been, you know, kind of challenging for Native people. But apparently it's not quite as bad as we thought. And there are also there's also some really good news, and it sounds like some really good leadership coming out of Native communities across this country also. So I'll kind of let you give folks a little bit of background.
Thanks, and I do want to go backwards a little bit. I don't think a lot of people understand the system that we have in place for Native people as far as health care. People don't understand that most Native people do get their health care from the Indian Health Service, and it's made up that Indian Health Service is composed of direct health care from the Indian Health Service itself, tribal health care, and urban Indian health care. So three different systems that most of us get our health care from. It's also important that people realize that more than 70% of us live in urban areas, so the urban Indian health cares are very stressed. I mean, all of our systems are, but in particular, you can imagine what's going on in Seattle right now with that urban Indian health setting. In addition, you know, our communities are facing the same shortages of personal protective equipment and testing supplies that everybody else is, but we also have disproportionate burdens of infectious disease in general. We have 1 to 3 times the mortality from infectious diseases across all ages, across the nation. We have underlying chronic disease rates that are higher. We have higher rates of diabetes, as everyone knows, and much higher rates of lung disease, particularly in this Bemidji area that we live in. Further, 13% of Native American homes lack safe water or adequate wastewater disposal facilities compared to 1% nationwide of the general population. I've talked before about our high poverty rates and our higher health disparities in general. We have very tightly knit communities, and I think I've talked about how that's a benefit. You know, we can see the downside in times like this. Community members now are returning to be with their family, returning to our reservation communities and to be with their family during this time, and because of poverty and because of how tight we are, there's some overcrowding issues that we're facing now. Also, because of the chronic underfunding of the Indian Health Service, the disease is going to impact us already stressed health systems. You know, the Indian Health Service spends less than half the amount on health care per patient than the national average. And in addition, despite the fact that across the nation we have 25% vacancy rates for providers, which includes physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, PAs. In addition to that, we've had a loss of nearly 200 commissioned corps members to deployments in response to COVID-19 across the country. So that's a huge impact. That has a huge impact on our system. Over a quarter of the population is uninsured. So, you know, we're not getting any third-party coverage when they come to our clinics, and people who are outside of our system are not getting the care they need. And then on top of that, the economic toll is going to be huge for our communities already is huge because our casinos are having to shut down in Alaska, where I'm from. We're getting no monies in from tourism and don't anticipate that happening this summer. And as we've talked before on your show, we know that economics is definitely plays a role in health care, you know, the social determinants of health. However, that said, because of some good leadership on the Hill and tribal leaders around the country, demanding and addressing these issues, we are starting to see some funding come in. But even more importantly, I think, is around the country is what's happening in some of our communities and the leadership that's been shown. For instance, in the Lummi Nation. The Lummi Nation is about 115 miles north of Seattle, and they started preparing for this disease back in 2019. They saw it coming, and they started ramping up their supplies, and their leadership really rose to address the issue. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to read a letter that they the Lummi leadership sent out to their community when they had to impose a shelter in place. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
It's a short letter. So parts of it Thanks, my dear people. As we expected, today the Lummi Indian Business Council accepted the Lummi Public Health Team's recommendation and unanimously passed a shelter-in-place resolution. Please do not panic. We are prepared for this. Be assured that certain fundamental activities will still be allowed. Individuals may travel from their homes to provide or receive certain essential services, like taking care of family members or obtain medical services. They may engage in certain essential activities, such as going to get groceries, medications, fishing, hunting, and gathering. Our objective is to take every measure and to ensure the health and safety of our families during this COVID-19 pandemic. We love our people. This resolution further emphasizes the necessity to protect our elders and youth and prohibits all gatherings of individuals within the Lummi Reservation. When it's necessary for you to leave your home, please practice good social distancing, take great care to protect our elders, and wash your hands frequently. We cannot stress enough the value of each and every one of our Lummi members. It is important to have Shwholen, and I pronounced that wrong, at this time, one heart and one mind, one spirit for the work. We come from survivors of the Great Flood. And then they say, in their own language, we protect the Lummi people. So I think what's important about this is that people realize that, yes, we are facing a lot of the same issues, and they're going to have greater impact on Indian communities, but as we have for five centuries, we're going to survive this, and it's because of this kind of leadership that the Lummi leadership are showing.
That's
my short intro. Go ahead.
One of the things that I find touching about that letter, I guess in light of an article that I read from The Atlantic yesterday that talked about how as the public discourse goes on in the community at large, elders are expendable. And there have been conversations happening on a national level about the need to get everything back to work and get the economy up and running. And the idea is, well, old people are going to die anyway. So whatever, we've got, you know, work to do and stuff to do. And the idea that was emphasized in that letter over and over was protecting elders.
That's right. And children.
Yes.
Our most vulnerable people we have to be most careful of. Absolutely. I think that our communities have a lot to teach the general population, as we always have, not just on this issue, but, of course, environment and other areas.
So as you are living and working in our community, you have worked in, you know, and conducted local clinics in a number of tribal and reservation communities around northern Minnesota. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are folks either struggling with or providing leadership with right now in this time?
So I haven't worked in those other clinics for a while, certainly not since I'm only in Fond du Lac clinic right now with COVID-19. And I think, like everybody else, we're waiting for the storm, you know, watching it happen to others and just anxiously preparing. I have seen the impact around the country on Native people, though. As of yesterday, I was reading on the Navajo Nation, it's already infected 39 cases, and they've had a couple of deaths. Of course, we know that the infection, the reports of infection are not what's important, the death rate, because we are not nearly counting. We're severely undercounting the infection rate, not just in our community, but across the country. They also, to give you an idea of how bad this is, not just for us, again, but for all communities, and I think we will be impacted more, though. Yesterday, they just received their first shipment of personal protection equipment, and they expected that to last 1 week. So that was yesterday for the Navajo Nation.
Oh, wow.
Seattle, of course, has been facing this for quite some time, and because of this, they're projecting out a cost to their clinics, the Seattle Urban Indian Office, organization, of $700,000 per month. Again, I can't emphasize enough how underfunded we already are within our Indian health service systems. And now when they face a cut or a loss of that huge amount, you know, people are going to suffer. Those are the kind of impacts.
One of the things that I was curious about is there's been a lot of conversation in our area in particular, and I'm hoping that we'll have the opportunity to delve into that a little bit more tomorrow, with folks generally in small vacation destination communities, Bayfield County, Cook County, places like that, that were frustrated and then finally took action on a community level and said, no, vacationers, you need to stay home We've got tiny little hospitals, tiny little health care. You know, we've got tiny health care. We don't have a lot of resources, and you need to stay home right now. We love you, but we don't want you to come up here right now. When you talk about folks traveling home to be with their community and their family, it seems like that's a cultural imperative. But by the same token, it is putting people at risk, moving from an area where there's a higher, perhaps, rate of infection coming up north, where people are perhaps already, you know, are operating with compromised immune systems. But it sounds like, I mean, we're not necessarily, are we hearing from tribal people, we want relatives, we want you to stay home, or are they saying, absolutely, come up here and we'll double up?
I doubt that they're telling people, absolutely, come up here and we'll double up. But I don't know. I haven't spoken with, because they've been so busy, our actual, you know, our health directors at this time. And it's, you know, it's really tragic what's happening in general to the thought of people dying without their loved ones around them. I'm sure that's passing on people's minds. And as you've said, and as I've said, our community truly values its connections to one another. But that said, this isn't the time that we can do that. So I imagine that our tribal health leaders are facing hugely difficult decisions, and I wouldn't want to be in their place. I know that the Lummi did order that stay in place, and they were not wanting people to come from outside the reservation in general. But, you know, when they're your community members, how do you say no? I don't know how they're dealing with that. It's a really good question.
And that is something, obviously, that is hardwired into Native culture in a different way than it is the culture at large. The idea that we are relatives, we are close, you do care for your elders, and that, you know, gives you a cultural imperative to get home and do that.
Right.
And to be told, no, you can't, you know, you can't come home. That is a whole different situation. Is there anything that
Native people are supporting them, one another, though, in other ways? You know, we do know how to use the internet, and we have seen pictures of Native women out there jingle dress dancing,
yes,
for all of us, and people doing some really good work. I know that the National Indian Health Board has contacted the Association of American Indian Physicians and asked that we supply letters to our community that they will put on their site. There are several different websites that are providing important information. For instance, one of my favorites is the Urban Indian Health Institute, where they have fact sheets out there, fact sheets on everything. They started their fact sheets on COVID-19 back on February 5th, and they include information for employers, information on res dogs and COVID-19 or how to care for your pets, for providers caring for, you know, there are lots of different resources that we're providing for patients and our community, including plenty on social or physical, not social, but physical distancing, as the World Health Organization wants us to emphasize.
One of the other things...
You don't have to lose your social connections.
Right.
Physical.
One of the other things that I heard a lawmaker talk about on National Native News, though, yesterday, and boy, did she have a bite in her voice. And she said, we have been talking for decades about the importance of getting high-speed internet and internet, period, on reservations and in rural areas. And now our kids are being schooled. You know, they're being sent home to learn. People need to stay in touch with one another. Kids need to learn. People need to work from home if possible. And we don't have the infrastructure that we need. So let's hope that maybe that could be, you know, to bring that conversation back front and center. Maybe there could be some movement on that. That would be, wouldn't that be a wonderful side effect?
Yeah, if you look on the National Council on Urban Indian Health, there was a really good letter sent to Congress stating just that, as well as our other infrastructure needs that are so critical right now and are showing up. You know, these cracks are becoming more apparent with this pandemic.
I hope that now that people on the other end of the economic scale are being seen in many ways as the people who are holding everything together, you know, the folks that are driving trucks and working at grocery stores and you know, kind of your rank and file healthcare workers, that kind of thing, that maybe the scales are going to start to tip a little bit. We're going to have maybe a more realistic look at who is contributing and what they're contributing and the value of what they're contributing.
That's what we're hearing.
Let's hope for the best. Mary, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. And especially if you can send me a few of these links, we'll get some of these links up on the website so it'll be easy for folks to access that information. And again, thanks so much for taking some time for us this morning.
Miigwech, gunashish.
Dr. Mary Owen.